Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, but everybody's not here this morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. Our numbers are down a little bit, probably a number of us traveling, I would assume. Either that or they didn't hear that the air conditioner was fixed. It was a little warm last week, but big thanks to Kurt for getting the air conditioner repaired. Last week was a little tough, but anyway, any visitors that we have, we're very glad that you came to worship with us. In Las Vegas, there's no shortage of things to do, and we're glad that you came to worship God with us. Last week, we was Father's Day, and we had a lesson on fathers and not to leave the mothers out. We kind of skipped over them on Mother's Day. So today I'd like to look at a topic, godly mothers. And mothers, I tell you, we really appreciate you. The mothers and grandmothers out there, you've played such a big role in our lives, all of us. And want to look at what the Bible has to say. If you would, I'd like to read. I'd like to start off with a passage from Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And this is talking about the little heading in your Bible might say the virtuous wife, probably should say the virtuous wife and mother. But starting in verse 10, I'd like to read from Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so that he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." What a wonderful passage and a wonderful example of what a godly, not only a godly woman, but a godly wife and godly mother are. In those verses, to kind of summarize, it describes what a good wife and mother are. And that she is trusted by her husband. That's important. I just kept thinking, as I was reading that, I kept popping up in my mind some of the topics that we discussed in the class Tracy taught recently about marriage and so forth, that what a wonderful trait it is for a wife to be fully trusted in all ways. Not just trust that she's not going to be out catting around, but that he trusts her with the funds, trusts her with his most valuable possessions, his children. Trust that she is running the home properly. She provides for her family. She's not lazy or idle. This is probably ages old, but I sure see very prevalent today an attitude, not just women, but in general, what can you do for me? Just that attitude, people in general. I'm entitled. What can you do for me? The woman in this passage is not like that. She's not lazy and passive, sitting back, taking. She's out contributing. She's not lazy or idle. She's wise. It mentions of the wisdom that comes from her mouth. She's generous. Her husband is proud of her. She exhibits good behavior. And very importantly, brings respect to the whole family. Not only is the husband proud, but the family is not ashamed of who their mother is. And this is just, 21 verses. And what a wonderful passage. And then it concluded, and this was our scripture reading that Frank read. It concludes with something that the world today needs to hear. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Ain't that the truth? Man, time has a way of beating you down. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. That sums it up. That sums up what a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother should be. Let's look at a few positive examples. That's not the only positive example of a good godly woman in the Bible. Let's look at a couple of others. My first thought when I think of mothers and grandmothers and so forth, is Lois and Eunice, Timothy's relatives. And in Paul's second letter to Timothy, in verses 3-5, Paul will write, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers day and night." Just to pause there for just a moment, that shows how close he and Timothy were. They were, you know, we talked about fathers last week and father figures. Perfect example of a father figure. How close they were. "I pray for you every day." Not only day and night. "You're in my prayers." And he goes on to say, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." And then he says in verse 5, "when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you." We could pause there. Just what a commendation to Timothy that Paul is recognizing his faithfulness. But he doesn't stop there. He says, "which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." This is one of those by the ways, one of those by the way verses. Not a lot is mentioned in the Bible about Lois and Eunice. Not a lot. But we know enough that they contributed to the way Timothy was. Lois and Eunice were probably not movers and shakers. But you know what? They taught somebody that was a mover and shaker and had influence on him. And I look out in this audience alone at the mothers, the grandmothers that have the opportunity to have influence on so many people. Future elders, maybe preachers, and if anything, just to contribute to those young children being strong Christians someday. What? There's no better compliment than somebody contributing to somebody else being a strong Christian. And that we see that with Lois and Eunice. Another example is Lydia. Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 14, it says, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us," talking about Paul. "She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us." Couple of things in this verse. Not only was she generous, not only was she sharing of what she has with fellow Christians, she wanted her family to hear the good news. It was, you know, I think of Peter and Andrew. When Andrew heard about Jesus, what does he do? He runs and tells his brother Peter, we have found the Messiah. She wanted her family, her household, to hear what she had heard. And then after they were baptized, she was welcoming to Paul and his companions and shared what she had with them. And then in verse 40, skipping over a little bit later, in between time, Paul and his companions were thrown into jail. This was in Philippi. They were thrown into jail, and we have all of that where they get out and so forth. After they were released from jail, where do they go? But to Lydia's house. And it says, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. They knew that Lydia was hospitable. And they just got released from prison. And where do they go? They go to Lydia's house. The mother of Rufus. You talk about when you're watching the movie credits, you've got the stars and the big stars and then the co-stars and then featuring so-and-sos and the by-the-ways and then way down, as most of the people are leaving the theater, you've got played the gas station attendant and this and that. You've got the mother of Rufus. I think just about the only place mentioned in the Bible. But it says, greet Rufus at the end of Romans. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. This is accepted as the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried Jesus' cross. This would have been, and his mother, who would have been his wife. And he says, and his mother and mine. Not only does Paul want to send a greeting to Rufus's mother, but he's considering her like my mother too. That she must have extended care, concern, motherly instincts toward Paul. And just one of those that's kind of slipped in between the lines. But Paul sees it. Paul sees her for who she is and is remembered for time and eternity thanks to his letter to the Romans. And in Titus, Paul is writing to Titus about how to instruct the various people in the congregation. And he's talking about the older women. You know, a lot of times in society, older people are kind of shuffled aside. Out of sight, out of mind. Here, Paul is saying, starting in verse 3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. Not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. That's important. That Paul is telling the older women, teach the younger ones how to love their husbands and children. This is not that ooey-gooey Eros type love. That comes naturally. Anybody can figure that out. Teach them how to love their husbands. That husband that sometimes you're looking at him when they're sleeping, and the people that look at them thinking, I could take him out right now. one swift with the frying pan will do it. How to truly love them. How to love their children when they're on your last nerve. You have to be taught that. The ooey gooey comes natural. And it sometimes leaves natural. How to love your husbands and your children is learned. And you stick with it. We already saw in Proverbs, charm and beauty is deceitful. And it goes away. Ooey gooey may go away. But teach older women, teach how to stay with a husband forever and a day. How to love your children even when they're running around like wild Indians on your last nerve. Goes on to say, to be discreet. That's one thing I see lacking in the world. People don't have discretion. They don't have discretion and they don't have mirrors. They go out of the house looking ways they shouldn't. Just because they sell it in the store doesn't necessarily mean you need to buy it or wear it. Just observations from an old guy, okay? How to be chaste. Homemakers. Being a homemaker, one, is not bad, and it's not saying women can't work. Proverbs 31 dispels that. But how to create a home? Creating that inner home, the place that the kids are safe, the place that the kids are nurtured and are trained and raised up, the place that the husband can't wait to get to. After he's off being dad and husband, earning a living, fighting dragons for everybody, a place that he can't wait to get to. That's a homemaker. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Why all of those? That the word of God may not be blasphemed. And if we look at the flip side of the coin, I learned this from Preston, that if it says one thing, then if you're doing the other, it's the opposite. If you're not doing those things, then the word of God is being blasphemed. If you're not discreet, if you're not chaste, if you're not a homemaker, etc., etc., etc. Let's look at some negative examples. There's some negative examples in the Bible too. Now, rather than looking at all the different scriptures, I kind of condensed them down. In Proverbs, there are numerous passages that deal with relationships, and specifically husband-wife and mother-father relationships. Negative examples are described as a continual dripping. Drip, drip, drip. Drip, drip. Death by a thousand cuts. Not one big thing. Not one big thing. Oh, you did something I can't live. It's the day after day continual dripping. Contentious. regardless of what you find fault with everything. They're pot stirrers. Stirring that pot up. A harlot. And then the passage, destroying her own household. Pulling the household down around them. Instead of being the homemaker, building it up, destroying her own household. In 1 Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy and says, and talking about the women, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. These things do not match up with that woman that's in Proverbs. Godly mothers, we love you. You, in a lot of ways, women were the backbone and supporters in a lot of ways of Jesus. They were the backbone of the early church. In a lot of ways, they're the backbone of the church now. Teaching the children at home, getting them on that first path of following God. They guide. They influence. Never, women never underestimate the power you have. I remember, and I'd never heard this before. It's kind of a funny example how, Tracy, you were talking about women's not the head, but they're the neck that turns the head. Women play a very influential role, not only men, but in the household, and they have a big influence. And I'll tell you, any man that is a faithful Christian, I would bet, looking back in your life, there have been women that helped contribute to that. Strong Christian women helping with that. And the service that women do. I'll tell you, our women at South Valley, you're a force to be reckoned with. Us guys, we got to stay busy just to halfway keep up with the service that you do. You're an encouragement to us. But didn't want the opportunity. Last week we talked about fathers on Father's Day. Did not want to go without giving a pat on the back to the godly women, the godly grandmothers that we've got here, and or future moms and grandmas. Anyway, this was not a lesson of leading you through the steps of salvation, what you must do to be saved. If there's anybody here that hasn't put their Lord on in baptism, to be saved, you need to be baptized. If there's anybody here that would like to study more about the church, get with me, get with one of the other men. We will be more than happy to study with you. If there is sin in your life, repent. Don't let another day go with that sin and that lifestyle standing between you and a good relationship with God. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your need is, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation song, and we'll address your needs. Let's all stand and sing the invitation song together.